Good morning. It's such an honor to be with all of you this morning to serve and open up the Word of God. There's, I want to look around. There's just so many testimonies of God's faithfulness, so many people who have been walking with the Lord, and it's just an honor to be able to serve you with the Word. My name's Trevor. I'm a member of the preaching team, and I'm excited to bring our next sermon here in the series of pros and cons of discipleship. So if you would, go ahead and open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. In this series, when we talk about pros and cons of discipleship, there's a couple of things that I want to emphasize and why we're saying pros and cons of discipleship. It's not because discipleship is this transactional kind of consumeristic thing where you're going to, you know, kind of list it all out, and then you can kind of decide whether, you know, as a believer in Jesus, discipleship's for you or not. That's not how it works. Instead, what we're emphasizing is Jesus was always really transparent on what it was going to cost to get to follow him. He was always really clear with us up front to count the cost, to think it through, to be sober-minded about what following him really takes, what it really means. The other thing that I want to emphasize, too, is when we talk about discipleship and we talk about the demands of following Jesus, I don't want you to hear that as this is what you have to do to get saved. That's not what Jesus was trying to say. Being a disciple is not what saves you. Jesus' death on the cross, his taking your sin, your faith in that sacrifice that makes you a new person, that gives you life from the dead, that forgives you of all your sins, that's what makes you a disciple. And then to really follow Jesus, to really live out all of that new life, this is what it takes. This is what being a disciple means. So with that in mind, I want to share with you this morning from Matthew 14, and you already heard, thanks to Teresa's great work, some of the feeding of the 5,000, and what that teaches us about the cons, the costs of discipleship, but also the great blessings, the pros. So I'm going to read the text here, Matthew 14, starting in verse 13. We can't hear the word too many times. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard that, they followed him on foot from the towns. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away so they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Let's open up our time this morning with some prayer. God, we thank you so much for this text, for your call of discipleship, for your son modeling for us how to live. Lord, this is a challenging one for my heart. You know the ways it's challenged me, and I pray that I can speak that clearly to folks today, that they'll hear your heart, they'll learn your compassion. I pray we'll think really soberly about some of the ways you're calling us to live this out this morning, things that we've turned a blind eye to in our lives, or things that we've kind of set aside as thinking that we're justified in holding something back, Lord. I pray we would give it all to you. We would trust in your resources that you can do amazing things, Lord. because it's all through your power, not through ours. In your name I pray, amen. All right, so let's learn about the pros and cons of discipleship. I'm going to start with all of the cons first, all the hard stuff. We'll leave the good stuff for the end. The first thing that we notice from this text about discipleship and the cost of discipleship is that discipleship can wear you out. Discipleship can wear you out. Now, I get this from some of the context. Context is always important. We want to understand when we get into a text what was happening beforehand, how'd we get into it? And so verse 13 says, now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat. What was the this that he heard? His cousin had just been murdered, killed for calling out the rulers of the day for not living moral lives. Mark gives us some more context. There is even more that was going on in this space. Mark says that they had been doing so much ministry. This is Mark chapter 6, verse 30, 31. He says that they had been doing so much ministry after the apostles had gone on their missionary journey and come back that they didn't even have enough time to sit down and eat. There were so many people coming and going. There's so many people that they were talking to or helping out or doing this ministry here, healing this person here. They didn't even have a second to eat, to feed themselves, do the basic things, much less process their grief. Jesus, that his cousin had been killed. Remember, too, that Andrew, Peter's brother, was a disciple of John before he went with Jesus. They were really, really close to John the Baptist. And so I think that's an important thing to take away as a lesson as we get into this, is that even preceding this event is a time of intense ministry. They were working themselves really hard. They were running ragged. And sometimes discipleship can be like that. Sometimes following Jesus means he calls you into that. And there's seasons like that. So that's the thing that we should think of soberly. Hard stuff happens. You follow the Lord, and you might make some people with power upset. In fact, if we look at church history, it tends to be the case that when you do it right, that happens. And so, count the cost. Be sober about that. It's not always that ministry fits neatly in our boxes and our resources. We're going to see more about that, because the next con of discipleship, the next thing we should take in mind as we count the cost, is that discipleship can test your boundaries. Discipleship can test your boundaries. Now look what happens. Jesus is he recognizes this situation. He notices, okay, my cousin has been killed. My disciples are affected. I'm affected. We're doing all this ministry. There's so many people coming and going. None of us can eat. All right, time out. We need a time out. We're all going to get in the boat. Right? So when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. Matthew emphasizes Jesus' personal need for this. Jesus says, me personally, I need time away. I need time by myself. I need to recharge. Y'all, if Jesus needed to recharge, sometimes we need to recharge too. Let's hear that. But the problem is, as soon as we hear that, did he get a chance to? What happens is that they're on the Sea of Galilee, and it's a pretty good-sized lake, but when you're out in the lake and you're anywhere around it, you can see who's out on the lake. So this becomes a problem. Because Jesus has this plan. I'm gonna start from where I'm at, where it's busy. I'm going to get in a boat. I'm going to sail across, and there's like some desolate hillsides area over here. And I'm going to have, you ever just go on a camping retreat? I'm just going to get out in nature. I'm just going to get out there. I'm going to have time alone. I'm going to have time to pray. I'm going to have time to reset. Great. This is going to be perfect. I'm going to bring my disciples with me. We can all just refresh. That's where the problem comes in. because as they're going, everybody's like, hey, that looks like Jesus out there. Y'all see Jesus? That's Jesus out there. Awesome. Let's you know, and they start the Sea of Galilee unofficial 10K. So they start running around the entire circumference of the lake. And as they get into each next town, what are you guys doing? We're going to go see Jesus. He's about to go land out there in the middle of nowhere. Oh, great. We'll come too. By the time he gets to where he's going, sailing across the lake, trying to get away, he was trying to get away from all these people. He needed some time alone. Sometimes in discipleship, you have a really great ministry plan. You have a really great boundary that you've set. You have this idea that, okay, I'm going to minister in this space, and then I'm going to have this time to reset and recharge. Sometimes God has different plans for you. When they get to the shore, it's like you picture the boat comes up to the shoreline, and they look up, and oh no, this desolate place is not unpopulated anymore. There is a great crowd of people there. There's a great crowd of people there. I'm going to think about that for ourselves. As you get into discipleship, that's how it is. There are times like that. You think, I've given everything, God. I'm done. Like, I cannot give more in this season. And the Lord says, I have another thing for you. This person in your life gets sick. This person passes away. This person is having a crisis. This person calls up. I'm having a crisis of faith. Can you help talk me through it? You get to the end of a long day. I've given everything at work. I've given everything in my family. I'm ready to just rest, to go to bed. You get that call. Hey, buddy, can you talk for a minute? Hey, can you come over? Hey, I'm dealing with something really urgent. And you think, that's what you want to say. No, this is outside of office hours. I need time for me. And if we're not careful, we can get into that mindset. Now, there is balance to that. But at the same time, God decides where the balance is. We don't always get to decide that. We'll see later what really drives that when we get into the pros. But the other thing I want to notice is what Jesus says here. One of the central, in my mind, the central command of the passage. And what that teaches us is the third thing. Discipleship requires your everything and then some and more. When you count the cost of discipleship, you have to understand that it's going to cost more than what you have to give. It will. They get out there. They're already tired. They're already grieving. They're already wanting to refresh. They don't get a chance to. They minister to people all day. It gets to the end of the day. And the disciples are thinking quite sensibly, Jesus, okay, it's 6:30, it's getting dark, we're in the middle of nowhere, all these people came from all the towns, can you just, let's go ahead, let's send them home. And if it was modern ministry, it would be like, all right, let's send them home, and we'll tell them all, like, we're going to have a camping retreat, we'll plan it, we'll have the food trucks come out, we'll do this next month, we'll give you a date, and then we can all come do this. This is a great idea, I love it, folks, but today, we need you to go home. Jesus says, no, I don't like that idea. They don't need to do that. What do you mean they don't need to do that? There's 5,000 people here in the middle of nowhere. We hardly packed enough for us. You feed them. You feed them. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine you're so run down and you go on a retreat? Maybe it's like, a ladies' retreat or something. You guys, you plan all your thing. You go out in the ladies' retreat, and you get there, and instead of it being a retreat, there's 5,000 to 10,000 people total out there. and you hear from God, okay, all these people who have no provisions, they just showed up. Feed them. Feed them. They don't have the resources to do that. That's the audacious thing about this command. The disciples look at Jesus and they say, Jesus, we can't do that. In this text, they just say, we've got five loaves of bread and two fish. This is one of the only texts, too, that's in all of the Gospels, the Synoptics and John. You're probably familiar with John, where it's a little boy's lunch that has the five loaves and the two fish. If you were expecting that one, this one here doesn't emphasize that part. But in every single one of them, the disciples are like doing the math on their fingers, like, let's see. Yeah, that's a lot. And that's not much. That's not much. In one of them, Philip says, if we had 200 days' wages, so you think about like $60,000, that wouldn't be enough to feed everybody. Like, we just don't have enough, and there's no way we could have enough. I think that teaches us something. Because if Jesus is willing to ask his disciples here to do the impossible, to go beyond what their resources are, it could be something that disciples should expect. There are times when following Jesus will require everything you've got, and then some. And we'll see how that works. Before you get too despairing, let's turn to the blessings too. Let's turn to the blessings. What are some of the reasons, you know, besides counting the cost, so we count the cost, we see what it is that we could be getting ourselves into in that side. But also, what are the blessings? When we follow Jesus, what is it that he does that we get to see? And the first is that the disciples are refreshed by Jesus. Disciples, not just those disciples back then, but disciples today are refreshed by Jesus. Because the thing is, Jesus does take the time. He does recognize where they're at. He does see that we need this time away. And after this whole incident is over, in verse 22, which is in the next week's text, it says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. He still made sure that there was time that they got refreshed. But that's the thing, is that as disciples, we look to our refreshment from the Lord, from Jesus. I don't want to speak too, like, to all of us, really, but even young people, like, a lot of times we feel like to refresh or to take a break because there are so many demands, whether it's school or whether it's trying to consider future careers or whether it's church, all these things that come to us, sports, that like, okay, my time to refresh is I'm going to play some video games or I'm going to, go do something. And there's nothing wrong with that. But for us, whether it's NFL or the baseball playoffs are starting, I've heard, things like that, right? Is that refreshment? There's nothing, it's entertainment. It's not necessarily sinful. But we can subtly let ourselves get into a cycle, a habit of we are substituting real refreshment of our soul from the scriptures and from time with the Lord and with his people, with a good friend in the faith who you can share really what's going on in your heart with, things like that, with just distractions and entertainment. Don't substitute for yourself real refreshment, real actual soul refreshment with just entertainment. That's all I'm saying. Don't sell yourself short because the Lord offers to his disciples refreshment. Second, disciples learn compassion. And this is probably the key theme from the text. It says in verse 14, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. I think you also hear his compassion where he says, they don't need to go away. Now, you should probably already start to see that this compassion is not natural. The setup I've given already of them trying to go on a mission, retreat, and then trying to get refreshment, and all these people show up. That kind of tips the hat already that this is tough. This is not easy. This is not an easy group to have compassion on. They're not really thinking about the disciples' needs. That's how it goes in ministry sometimes, though. The other part of it is how Matthew presents the crowd in general throughout his gospel. And I recommend if you've got, you know, Bible search software or anything, when you get home today, look up crowd in Matthew. See what they do. It's really fascinating. It's kind of generally Matthew's catch for everyone who's just kind of interested in what Jesus is doing. There's the Pharisees, there's the scribes, there's some of the random people. It's just everybody who's interested in Jesus. The crowd, the one word I would use to describe how Matthew presents the crowd is fickle. They're every which way. And to illustrate that especially, you can think about when Jesus goes into Jerusalem, you have the crowd saying, Hosanna in the highest. They're excited. In that moment, they're like, this guy's going to overthrow Rome. I mean, we're going to have, you know, the state that we want. We're going to have freedom. We're going to have, I mean, this guy can make bread out of nothing. So, I mean, nobody's going to be hungry. He can heal the sick. Everybody's going to be well. And within a few days, the last thing that we hear that the crowd is doing is demanding for Jesus' crucifixion and Barabbas' release. It's the last thing that the crowd does in Matthew. The crowd isn't, in a writer's terms, a sympathetic character. But Jesus has compassion on them. Jesus teaches us compassion. And as disciples, one of the blessings we get is to learn compassion from him. That's what this is. The whole feeding of the 5,000, it's a lesson to the disciples to have compassion on these folks. He's loving to them. He's tender towards them. There's a future feeding that I won't steal the thunder of, but Jesus has this phrase where he's like, what if they get tired on the way and faint? I'm unwilling to send them away unfed. Isn't that amazing? The Lord is out there in the middle of nowhere on what's supposed to be a ministry retreat. He spent all day teaching and healing these folks. And he says, it's not enough that I've met their spiritual needs and a lot of their physical needs through healing. I'm going to feed them too. Because I care about them. Because my ministry doesn't just fit in a neat little box. And this is what it is and this is what it isn't. Because my ministry is driven by compassion. It's driven by love. It's driven by tenderness and care, even when they don't deserve it. Even when I know they're going to demand my crucifixion. Even when I know that half of them are against me and the other half are just here to use me. Jesus has compassion. We need to learn that from him. The third blessing, the pro that we get from discipleship is that disciples receive divine resources. This is the part where the disciples say, hey, we can't do this thing you're asking us to do. You told us to feed all these people. And like, even if we had catering and everything already out here and could pay for it, we can't pay for it all. We don't have the food. We're in the middle of nowhere. It's not going to work. But when they give what they have to Jesus, Jesus says, bring it to me. Then Jesus prays, which by the way, this is one of the reasons why we say grace before a meal. It's because Jesus did. He looks up to heaven and he says a blessing. Why does this happen? I mean, one, it shows that Jesus is a greater provider than even all the provision that we see in the Old Testament, that he is God. But he's teaching the disciples, he's teaching us. He says, listen, I know you don't have enough. I know I've asked of your everything and more than that. Here's what I'm going to do. He says, I will take your puny, worn out, your inadequate, your what you have left offering. As you give it all to me, I'm going to take all that and I'm going to accomplish my plan with it. Because when I do it, it's going to be no doubt that it was my power that filled the gap so that God gets all the glory. Jesus acts this way. God acts this way. He teaches his disciples that this is how it works so that there's no mistaking whose power is responsible. I think sometimes in ministry we have a hard time with this because we want to plan everything out. We want to be responsible. We want to, you know, make sure we've got all the bases covered. We want to make sure that the resources, you know, are enough to cover all the needs. And there's a place for responsibility that's important. You know, there's a reason why we have a board of trustees. But at the same time, God does even more than what we are able to do. He is working supernaturally, and that's how he wants to work. Because it's not all about what we can accomplish. He's doing more than what we can accomplish. And he provides through his people. Notice, Jesus could have just done it himself too. But he says to the disciples, you feed them. He gives them the agency to be the ministers, the servants of all of the people. He puts them in the place of service out of the resources that God is providing, filling the gap. Once they've given everything to him, then the disciples are able to minister out of the rest. And they see, wow, this is God. This is his doing. And they eat and they're satisfied. They get refreshed as they serve. So finally, the last thing that's a blessing, a pro of discipleship is that disciples see miraculous provision. This is an amazing fact. This has always blown me away about this passage. Because God could have done this miracle of multiplication of the loaves and the fish, this miracle of his great provision. He could have done it and like, there have been like zero, like it perfectly aligns with everybody what they're willing to eat, right? That's kind of what I would expect if I was doing this. Like, hey, let's do zero waste here. Let's Six Sigma this, Jesus. We're gonna make sure this all lines up. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. There's pieces left all over. There's so much abundance that they went from not having enough, hardly for a family to eat, to feeding everyone there, and there's so much food, he sends the disciples on an extra mission to each of them go around with a basket and fill that thing up. And there's 12 baskets full of food left over. And so now they have stuff that they can take away from it. See, we get to see God's miraculous provision when we follow him in discipleship. When we give it all to him, when we count the cost, when we walk with him, he refreshes us. He teaches us compassion that drives our ministry. He teaches us to look to divine resources, not just our own resources. You can't do it with your own strength. You can't serve him with your own strength. And neither does he ask for that, really. God says, if I needed someone to serve me because I had a need, I wouldn't tell you about it. I have the cattle on 1,000 hills. He can accomplish what he wants. But he invites us in so that we can see his amazing power as he uses us and supplies all the gap in our ability with his ability. And then we get to see the miracle of his provision. So the question for you this morning as we reflect on this text is, will you follow Jesus and be a disciple of his today? If you haven't trusted him as your Savior, as your Lord, will you do so? Will you look at his amazing compassion and say, I want to be like that. I believe in him. I want you to consider a few questions as well of application while we think through this. I think this text challenges us in a few ways. And so I want you to consider, who is Jesus calling you to love, even though it's outside your boundaries? Even though you've already drawn the lines and you said, okay, this is how far I can go. Who is that person that Jesus is calling you to love that's outside that line? Will you love them? What are you holding back from God? Because you don't think it's enough. You don't think it's up to the task. You don't think it's adequate for all the need you see. It's not enough. It's not good enough. It's not professional enough. It's not whatever enough. What is that thing? Will you entrust it to him? What people around you are just not getting it? They're out of touch with God's ways, or they're just trying to use you. Will you have compassion on them? How burned out do you feel? Do you feel overworked, totally spent? Have you tried to push through that in your own strength? Have you tried to fill yourself back up? Will you go to Jesus and be refreshed? Will you find renewal in him? How have you seen God provide for you in amazing ways in the past? When I look around, I see it. I know you all have some amazing stories of how the Lord has provided for you in amazing ways. Will you remember that today? Believing that he can do it again? He's the same God. And will you share that story with someone soon? Let's think about how we can have compassion, how the Lord can kind of set the boundaries for us rather than our own strength. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much that you are the provider. We thank you so much that it's your ministry that we're part of. This thing called church, this thing called Christianity, it's not something we've dreamed up. It's not something that's what we're trying to do in the world. It's what you're trying to do in the world. And we're here at your command, and we're here with your resources, your supply. Lord, help us to remember that. Help us to operate out of your power and to do your business your way, praying, relying on you, trusting in you, believing in you. Lord, I pray that in those times when we're exhausted, in the times when we've met our end, we would listen for your call. We would listen and look to the ones you would have us have compassion on. Help us to have wisdom.